Please join me in some of the select verses of the Athanasian Creed. Whoever will be saved shall above all else hold the Catholic faith. And the true Catholic faith is this, that we worship the one God in Trinity and Trinity in unity, neither confusing the persons nor dividing the substance. For there is one person of the Father, another of the Son, and another of the Holy Spirit. But the Godhead of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit is all one. The glory equal, the majesty co-eternal, for we are compelled by the Christian truth to acknowledge every person by himself to be both God and Lord. You may be seated for our reading. Scripture reading for our meditation today as we celebrate this week of Holy Trinity is taken from the first chapter of the Gospel of St. John, beginning with verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me.' And of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him." These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would now strengthen our faith through them. Amen. Back in the mid-1500s, Spanish explorers came over to the area that would be southern Peru and northern Chile, and they were shocked to observe some of the religious ceremonies going on among the Inca people. And one of the ceremonies they observed was called Capacocha, and it literally means royal guilt. And apparently what these tribes would do would be select some of their nicest looking boys and girls, and they would give them alcohol and get them drunk, and then they would give them coca leaves to numb the pain. And then they would suffocate these children, and they would beat them. And they would then sometimes bury them alive or even strangle them. And this would all then be a sacrifice to their gods. This was part of their ritual of worship in hopes of receiving some sort of favor from their gods. One of the Spanish journals from one of the explorers that was along on this trip recorded that during one ceremony, they observed over 1,000 children being sacrificed like this. And then a strange thing would take place. After this, people would go up to these mummified children. They would let them sit out. And they would go up to them and almost pray to them or speak to them. And especially when it came time to getting married, to get permission somehow from these mummified children to get married. Just bizarre, bizarre rituals. It's interesting that the text in front of us describes human beings as far as how we go through this world in terms of our relationship to God by ourselves, that we are in darkness. Our hymn that we sang just said that so well. All our knowledge, sense, and sight lie in deepest darkness shrouded. And there's at the same time kind of a desire in human beings to know God and to somehow have a relationship with this being that is up there. There's a sense that there is some sort of higher thing above us. And so all around the world in different cultures, going as far back as we know in writings, there are attempts by human beings to try to explore what this is and figure somehow something of, there's a sense that we must interact with whatever this being is. And yet, as our text says it so perfectly, no one has seen God at any time. Now, the fact that God is so unknown to human beings and to us is really not God's fault. We have a tendency to want to blame that on God. But the scripture tells us that the curtain of secrecy that makes God so mysterious to us is something that we erect, that is erected in our hearts. In the same way that the priests in the Old Testament times, there took 200 of them, they claim, to erect the huge curtain that separated the holy place from the most holy place. Human beings are the ones that have created and erected the great mysterious curtain that keeps our knowledge away from God. Listen to what Paul wrote to the Romans. Since the creation of the world, God's invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that people, talking about all of us in general, so that people are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile. That word means empty in their minds and hearts. Became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. That explains why people would go and try to contact these gods through a mummified child. Now, human beings know that there's just something not right between us and whoever this powerful being is up there. There's a natural sense in us that there's a problem, that somehow things aren't quite the way they're supposed to be. And so all the religions of the world that man devises try to attempt in some way to come up with an answer to that problem, this sense of uneasiness. Francis Schaeffer referred to this once as a sense of oughtness inside of us. I ought to do certain things. I ought to be a certain way. I ought to act a certain way. I ought to not do certain things. I ought to not think and act a certain way. And all human beings have this sense of oughtness inside of them that has to do somehow with this being then that is considered to be up above us and so on. Something isn't right. And, you know, even inside of us as Christians, there's still a sense of that uneasiness in us. And a lot of times when people think about leaving this life someday and everything, there's kind of a sense like, I don't know, maybe there's something that still needs to be done. So all world religions wrestle with this issue. And they try to find the answer, though, on man's side of things. All the world religions try to approach this from something we have to do or construct or build in order to finally make things right between us and God. The Incas tried to do it through their children, okay? Look at all the world religions that have been designed by human beings, and you will find that that is the case. They try to come up with some way that we can do something to make this being somehow happy with us. Back when the Golden Gate Bridge was being constructed in the early 1900s, the engineers worked on it for many years, and it took about 4.5 years to actually build the thing and complete it. Can you imagine what it would have been like if everybody working on that project, beginning with the designer all the way to the builders, if every one of them was completely blind? Can you imagine where that would have ended up? How that would have turned out? Well, that's a picture of what it would be like, what it's like for human beings to be the ones, because of our sinful blindness and darkness that we're in, to try to build a religion toward God. They go all over the place. All of the religions of man to try to reach heaven just go all over the place. And so man is constantly trying to create this bridge between us and God. And yet ultimately they all go nowhere, as Scripture tells us. There's nothing any one of us can do to find God on our own. There's nothing that we can do that will appease God somehow to get rid of this sense of oughtness inside of us. But that brings us to the wonderful message that we have here from the Gospel of John, his entire book. God is the one who has built the bridge. God is the one who has decided to come our direction and to come into the world in the person of Jesus Christ and through the revelation he gives us through his word. And he makes himself known to us. And he now removes the mystery. He removes the veil of mystery as to who this being is. And he's pulled back the curtain, this curtain of secrecy. And he basically says to us through the person of Christ, here I am. This is how I want you to know me. This is what I've done for you. And he explains to us the whole perfect life of Christ in our place and his sacrificial death in our place. And he says, this is how I want you to know me. Listen to what John writes. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. I remember asking in one of my religion classes a few years ago, why is Christianity often so hard for people to kind of grasp? And what is it about it that makes it kind of difficult for people to sort of buy into, if you will? And a student finally said, because it contradicts how we naturally think. That was a great answer. It contradicts how we naturally think. We naturally think, just like all the other world religions, there's something I have to do. Christianity comes and says, no, God himself has done it for you, every part of it. He has come into this world to reveal himself to you as your Savior. The problems of sin and death and eternity, he's taken care of all of that on your behalf, and he has just simply done that. Just trust that. Just believe that. But that kind of goes against our natural instincts that are inside of us. But here we see in our text our Creator, our Redeemer, and Sanctifier. Our Creator, we're told all things were made through him. That means you, your body, your soul, your mind, the talents that you possess. And his plan was never to make human beings like you and me and then just destroy us. After the fall into sin, after we had pushed God away because of our sinfulness, immediately he comes and unveils his plan to save humanity, promising a Savior who would be coming ultimately through the seed of Eve. Our Redeemer, we're told here in our text, the Word, that's the Son of God, became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only Father, begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He came to have his skull beaten, not some child's skull. He came to be suffocated in death. He came to be buried for you. And he came to tear open the curtain between you and God, so that you could know God, but especially that you could know that you have peace with God through his blood shed for you on the cross. And finally, the Sanctifier, the Holy Spirit, the one we maybe think about or talk about the least, but the fact that we're able to consider any of the Christian religion shows that his work is going on in our hearts and in our minds. He is the one who comes to make you holy and pure before God through baptism, through the proclamation of God's word. The Holy Spirit is the one who opens up John's gospel and basically says, this is how I want you to know God. Isn't that neat that this is often when people say, if I want to learn about Christianity, what's the best book in the Bible to read? People often say, turn to the Gospel of John. And this is how it opens. Right away, it talks about, yes, we're in darkness, but God is the one who has come to reveal himself to us. What a blessing we have in knowing the triune God of Scripture, the one who's going to someday take us out of our graves to heaven. What a wonderful, wonderful thing it is that he has not left us to our own devices, but instead has come to build the bridge to reach you and me. Amen. Please take out your hymn book and turn to page 57 in the front part, page 57. There's a beautiful collect or prayer that has a mention of all three of the persons of the Trinity so well. Please rise as we join to pray. So let us give thanks and pray. Please join me. We thank you, Lord God the Father, that you have given your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, that you have borne in your sacred body all our sins, and by your blood have blotted out all our transgressions. We thank you, Lord, the Holy Spirit, that you have created in our hearts true faith, that we know of nothing to trust for our salvation except Jesus Christ and him crucified. O God, grant us your grace that we may perfectly believe that all our sins are forgiven for the sake and the passion and death of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so enlighten us by your Holy Spirit that in the power of our Redeemer's death, we may day by day put off sin and never forsake the Lord Jesus Christ until we see him face to face in life eternal. We ask it all in Christ's name. Amen.
Thank you.
praise forever. And now may the triune God of your baptism, the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit bless and preserve you. Go in his peace. Amen.